And I'm thankful. Thank God. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to use this text as a springboard for the thought. Actually, I'm pulling a word out of it. But we're going to read a little while. Don't nobody worry. I'm not going to preach that y'all give me a raise or nothing. Amen. But I appreciate church taking care of us. But that's what Paul's dealing with the carnal church. I had people say one time, well, Paul built tents. Yeah, he had to because carnal Corinth wouldn't do nothing for him. And that's the facts. Amen. But I appreciate this church. Amen. And no complaints here on my part. I'm blessed beyond measure. But yet this is the text. So I didn't want nobody to panic. Amen. So he's about to ask for something. Anyway, look at verse number 6. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk thereof, of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, for this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. For we have sown unto you spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things or natural material things? For others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Here's my word, nevertheless. We have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight. And we're humbled, Lord, that you've allowed us the privilege and the health to be in your house. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for that great honor, Lord, to be here. Many others would love to be where we're sitting and where we're at, but they're physically unable to. And I thank you for this privilege. And I pray, Father, for the message. We pray that you would illuminate our mind and enable us to preach with the anointing of the Spirit. And Lord, touch every heart that's in this building. And Father, we love you and we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm preaching tonight an old message, but God lit it on our heart for this hour on God's message of nevertheless. And notice the verse again in verse number 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? And Paul's letting them know we have authority to be taken care of the church. He made that clear that if we labor for you in spiritual things, should not we be partakers of your carnal things? Again, this text is self-explanatory, and it is a rebuke, by the way. Paul is rebuking this church. Because they weren't there yet. They were so carnal. They wanted them to work 80 hours a week and then minister 80 hours a week. I don't care who you are. That's physically impossible. Amen. I promise you I'm not going to preach on this. I don't have to, but I appreciate it. But he said, for if others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? He said, even more us. He said, but here's what we did. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer. They were in a place of suffering. I take that verse literally. They were suffering because had they used the liberty and the power that they had biblically, these carnal Christians would put such a damper and grievance of the Holy Spirit of God that the preaching of the gospel be hindered. Now, folks, I'm going to say this and try to move along. I'd hate to let petty things stirred my heart so that it would grieve the Holy Spirit of God in his house. Things that God has put plainly in his word. There's no dissecting this text. There's no private interpretation. It is right here. It says what it says and means what it says. But he says, we just chose to suffer. I'd hate to stand before the Lord if I was those people for causing God's men to have to suffer like that and have to put up with that. But their heart for the gospel meant more. Folks, again, I promise you, this is all I got, and nothing I'm saying is in it. But I promise you, if you are going to be, if Bible Baptist Church is going to be remembered, you don't want to be remembered as a Corinth. Now, I know there's some communities called Corinth, and so the churches are called Corinth Baptist. I believe if I took one of them churches, I'd say, man, we got to change the name. And again, I'm not knocking anybody that the church is named Corinth Baptist Church, but to me, you asking for it. But I'd rather be known as one of the churches of Macedonia, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, some of them that Paul said, you're my joy and my crown. He told Corinth, he said, y'all met my necessity. He said, they met my necessity because you wouldn't do it. And they had more supply than all the rest of them. But yet, their carnality. So Paul said, look, we have the authority to do and demand this, but nevertheless. And I want to use that word. It's a word that means in spite of that. Simply put, nevertheless simply means in spite of that. And folks, even as a preacher, we got to understand that the souls of men are more important than a salary. Amen. Y'all didn't think I was going to go there, did you? Paul let us know quickly, even though we have the right and we have the power and we ought to be partakers of it, he said, but nevertheless, we have not used it. And the reason we have not used it but suffered, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So I want to notice some things about the word nevertheless. And I don't know if I'll get them all, but we'll go as we can. Now I want you, go ahead and take your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter number 26. And the first nevertheless I want to talk about tonight is the nevertheless of our wills. W-I-L-L-S, our will. Folks, know that we have a will. The Bible talks about the perfect will of God, the purpose of God, and we have a will. We have been created with a free will. Now, I'm not Arminian, and I'm not Calvinist. I'm a Bible believer. But yet, we have a will. In other words, we can decide. We can choose. We can make up our mind and say, here's what we're going to do. And we're either going in the right direction or the wrong direction. We're either in the will of God or we're not. There's no such thing as a permissive will of God. I preached that years and years and years ago. But either you're in the perfect will of God or you're out of the will of God. Amen. Now, hey, you choose to go a certain way, God will let you. But that don't mean he's giving you permission to do it. You're in rebellion. Plain and simple. So anyway, notice the scene here, and I know you understand what's going on, the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ, the burden of the cross. You got to remember, again, I repeat, the Lord was all God and it was all man. He was the God-man. So therefore, the humanity part. And folks, you'll never convince me that Christ was trying to get out of going to the cross. I feel like he thought he was going to die right there. The burden was on him so heavy. And he said this in verse number 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, in spite of how I'm feeling right now. In spite of that, I feel like I'm going to fall out now. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know what he said? This is a hard thing. There's pressure on me. The stress of this, the pain of this, the pressure of what he came to do, that was the will of God, that he give his life a ransom. It was the will of God that Christ become sin for us who knew no sin. It was the will of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the will of God. He said, hey Lord, in the stress of this and the humanity bearing down in his body and the stress on him, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt. Amen. Folks, we get in places in our lives, and we'll pray, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Lord, I don't want to have to go through this. I don't want to have to face this. Again, this week, I had my mama's oldest sister went home to be with the Lord. And I got the call Monday morning about 5 o'clock. And I went down there and I saw my cousins, Debbie and Tammy. I saw the brokenness and I saw, and I knew how they felt. I knew exactly how they felt. It doesn't matter if your mama lives to be 49 like mine or 100. They're still mama. And the feelings is the same. But when you're going through death, when you're going through sickness, or you're going through a struggle, something's happening on your job, maybe you lost your job, maybe something's going on, you're having to bury a loved one, I don't know. And you want to say, Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to face this. I don't want to have this trial on me. Then you come to the point and say, Lord, but not my will, nevertheless. We have to put our will in the will of God. We have to put our will in the will of God. Brother Andrew, I'm telling you, when the Lord, I don't know how y'all was, when the Lord first started calling me to preach, that was the will of God, but I didn't want that. I was content not being a preacher. And I fought against it. My will and God's will kept butting heads. Until finally I realized I don't know what's ahead. I've just heard things, and I've I wasn't raised in a preacher's home like my wife. I didn't know anything about it, just stuff they said. And again, be careful that what you say you ain't going to do, because that's what you're going to do. But the blessed day I got to the place and said, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Folks, even though I was still terrified, even though, man, it was still hard. But that peace of knowing that you're in the will of God. Folks, the safest place in the world you can be is in the will of God. I'm reminded of a story years ago of a missionary. Him and his family, he had two or three, I can't remember how many kids it was. And boy, I ain't thought about this story in years. But they went to a specific place and they found out that place was an area that was infested with poisonous snakes. And they got worried about it. Now they knew God had sent them there. That was the will of God. Now you say, preacher, God shouldn't have done that. Folks, he can do what he wants. There's souls there. We ain't questioning that. But they decided, because of fear, that they were going to go home. And they left and went back to their place in the States, wherever it was. And one day, the dad come home, he got a job, mom was in the kitchen, and I think it was two children. Y'all remember this story? Okay, keep me straight. Well, they're two boys. You won't get up here and tell this. No. But anyway, you can probably do a better job. But they, one, you know how boys are. One of them, they got up under the house playing. And there was a snake den, rattlesnake den down there. And snakes started biting one of the boys. And the other little boy came out and he got the boy as far as he could get. And this boy's lifeless. And the mother is so all to pieces. She sees him and she grabs him up, throws him in the car. She wasn't thinking, hits reverse and ran over the other boy and killed him. The boy who got bit by a snake died on the way to the hospital. She didn't even realize she'd ran over the boy and killed him. True story. You see what I'm saying? The purpose that they came home got them here. And what I'm trying to tell you is, even though it's scary, but the will of God is the safest place you can ever be. Do what God's will is. Let God help you. Jesus came to the place in the garden and the humanity part of Christ, and we know he was impeccable. He didn't sin, could not sin, but he still felt pressure and he still felt pain and sadness and all that was on him. And now he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, folks, where is our will? Where is your will? Do you pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? Lord, do you say, Lord, I see what you want me to do, but it's scary. But Lord, nevertheless, there's a nevertheless of our wills. My time's about gone. I want you to go to Luke 5 with me, please. Luke chapter 5. Well, there's a message in each of these, but we're just touching them. The nevertheless of our wills, then the nevertheless of our obedience. And we understand the story here where Christ is teaching. And of course, he gets into a ship and he goes out a little bit because that's an automatic, you know, your PA system. Look at verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, we go to the place of will, Lord, whatever your will is, now when his will doesn't make any natural sense to you. Not only does it make sense, but it's scary. Now it don't make any sense. Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew when to fish, what time of day to fish. And he said, we have fished all night. He said, Lord, we fished in the prime of the time. We have caught nothing. Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. This whole situation doesn't make a lick of sense to me, Lord. He said, but nevertheless, in spite of that, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. Lord, in spite of me knowing better in my own mind that that ain't going to work. Knowing better that that's just not going to work. The Lord, you said do it. Folks, can I say something to you here? If the Lord has you, Lord tells you to do something, or you feel like the Lord's wanting you to do something, and it makes perfect sense to you, it's probably not the Lord. Think about it. Oh, that makes perfect sense to me. Most of the time, it's not the Lord, because it's something you figured out in your mind. So the Lord will put you in a place where you just have to trust Him. It'll make perfect sense later. As you walk by faith and not by sight, things will open up and you might see better and say, boy, I'm glad I obeyed the Lord back there because I see better. I see clearer now. I see better here now because I didn't understand it then. Imagine Peter probably said, you know what, I'm glad I obeyed the Lord. The way Peter run his mouth, there's no doubt the conversation to come up with him and some other fishermen, well, that didn't make a lick of sense. Again, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but these guys knew when to fish, and Peter's the only one that run his mouth, but I guarantee the rest of them was thinking the same thing. And the rest of them probably was, they then got together and they're going to say, we ain't doing that. We're tired, we're sleeping, we fish when the fish are supposed to be biting, we caught nothing. By the way, sometimes it's the will of God that you catch nothing. Let that sink in spiritually. Because he's got something better for you later. Sometimes it's the will of God, it don't work out. Hello, anybody listening? Sometimes it's the will of God, it don't work out. Lord, I've done everything right. I put everything where it's supposed to go. This is how I've done it. Lord, you blessed it in the past, and all of a sudden God closes the door, seems like, and nothing's happening. You know what you're going to think? I must be out of the will of God. Hey, something must be something wrong. Not necessarily. It could be said, the Lord said, no, we're not going to catch fish here at this time when they usually bite. I'm going to do something for you when it gets a little more daylight that only I get the glory. Because they wasn't even in the honey hole, much less the honey time. And when the net break and all those fish, all they could say, I guarantee they was going, man, that didn't make a lick of sense to me, but I'm awful glad at his word. I'm awful glad at his word I done what he told me to do. I've never had anybody say two things. Preacher, I wish I never got saved. And two, I wish I never obeyed the Lord. Amen. Folks, the will of God sometimes, hey, his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, you know all that. And sometimes it makes no sense. It makes no sense. I'm going to tell you, preacher, something in here. It didn't make a lot of sense to start a church in a store building with no water. You know, you don't have water, you don't have a bathroom. One room. Folks, I know some of y'all are going, well, that's probably back in the 30s. That was in the 90s, houses. That was 97. That made no sense. Hey, y'all, ain't we glad we obeyed the Lord? Aren't we glad we obeyed the Lord? And of course, you know, Paul did say, whatever state I'm in, I'll be there with content. Be content. If you're not content with where the Lord has you now, he's not going to give you better. He's not going to move you forward. He's not going to move you up. Let me keep it going, man. I could preach a long time on that one too. The nevertheless of our wills, Lord, I don't really want to do this. It's scary, but nevertheless, not my will. Lord, don't make any sense to me. I just don't really get it. But nevertheless, at thy word. You don't have to turn. We're going to turn here in a minute, but we don't have to turn with this. And we have the nevertheless of surrender. Of our surrender. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? That's some of y'all's life verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who giveth himself for me. Hey, the nevertheless of surrender. I am crucified with Christ. Folks, spiritually speaking, symbolically, when Christ died, we died. When Christ resurrected, we resurrected to walk in newness of life. Amen. That's right. Folks, we identified with the death of Christ, and we identified with the resurrection of Christ. So how in the world can we, which have been crucified with Christ, resurrected with Christ, live dead any longer? He said, nevertheless, I live. Why do I live? Because Christ didn't just die. He resurrected. He said, the life I now live is different. It's surrendered to Him. You understand why it shouldn't be hard for you to do the will of God, to live and do what God wants you to do? Because you've been crucified with Christ. And you've been resurrected with Christ spiritually. That's why it should never be a chore for you to be faithful. Folks, I'm worried about some Christians that just simply don't... I mean, they just don't seem like church is anything anymore. Well, we go once a week. We go here and yonder. We go there. Folks, what about forsaking not? You know, some of us need to say, I'm busy, but nevertheless. God said, go to church. Some people will say, you know, I'm busy, but nevertheless, I'm going to knock doors. I'm busy, but nevertheless, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. You know, that appeals to the flesh, but nevertheless, I'm going to give it up. Come on. Whatever happened to that? You know what? Well, the Lord knows we can't help it. Folks, God knows what His Word said. It's forever settled. His commandments are not grievous. So nevertheless, I'm going to put my will to what He wants. I'm going to obey Him. And I'm going to surrender to it. I'm going to give it to Him. No matter, hey, if we're too busy to go to church, we're too busy to serve God, we're too busy to pray, hey, we're just too busy, and something beside that has to go. Something beside the things of God has to go. Oh, I'm just too busy to do that for God. No, you need to be cutting some other stuff out of your life that's appealing to your flesh or something you want to accomplish. Set it aside. Nevertheless, I'm going to set that aside because I have an obligation with God. Nevertheless, I'm going to quit that and not the things of God. God will never bless you cutting Him out. And no matter what your reason or excuse may be, God will never bless you cutting Him out. You hear me and hear me well. You're going to fall flat on your face doing that. You're going to be in more shambles and in more deeper. And the deeper you get, the harder it's going to get out of it. I'd stop in my tracks right now if I were you. I made this statement, and it's not original, but I made it years ago, and I liked it. And it'll convict us all. If there's ever been a time in your life that you were more faithful to God than you are right now, then you're backslid. Then you're backslid. There's a time in your life you're more faithful to church, more faithful to study, more faithful to read, more faithful to witness, had a stronger desire in your heart to do something for the Lord. And I ain't talking about if you're seriously physically unable. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually. Then you're backslid. Let's jump over to 2 Timothy. I only have two more. Man, all these are sermons. We have the nevertheless of our wills, the nevertheless of our obedience, the nevertheless of our surrender. But now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 through 12. The nevertheless of our boldness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9, I think it is, yes. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Get that. Listen to verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Folks, God ain't saved us and called us to something because we're just that good. But according to His own purpose and grace, He did it. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a plan for you and your life before the world began. Don't mess it up. God help me. Amen. Man, thank you, Holy Ghost. God help me. Before the foundation of the world, before the world began, God, according to His foreknowledge, He knew you were going to accept Christ, and because of that, He predestinated you. That's not Calvinism. That's Bible. and he knew he was going to save you. He knew he was going to accept Christ. And then he had a purpose for you before the foundation of the world, before the world began. Let's don't mess it up. Just don't mess it up. Come on now. But now, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know what he said? All the problems, all the persecution, all the shunning that we go through as God's people. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. You know, if we could just get God's people to quit being ashamed of who they are. Preacher, how do you know Christians are ashamed of who they are? Because they just simply struggle not to look like it, not to act like it, not to be like it. They work so hard not to do it. I was dealing years ago, with some dress code issues, and we have them. And I had a woman sit in my office with me and my wife, and she made this statement: I don't see the problem if they're showing some skin, as long as they're here. And I said, ma'am, but why is everybody else having to struggle and deal with that? I said, they ain't talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people that's here, that belongs here, belonged here. She couldn't figure it out. I don't see the big deal. I wonder about her soul, to be honest with you. And y'all glad it's Wednesday night? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Let me give you one more. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, 19. The nevertheless of our assurance. Who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having these sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I like it. Paul is talking to Timothy about shunning profane and feigned babblings, that those things increase to more ungodliness. And he dealt with individuals and people that are denying truth, going away from truth. He said, nevertheless, no matter what they say or what they teach, the foundation of God standeth sure. You know, it's amazing to me, theologians try and they try and they try and they try to tear down the fundamentals of the faith, and they'll never do it. They may hinder some. They'll give account for God for what they're doing. But they're not, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. Nevertheless, in spite of all this stuff, let's make sure our lives are in the will of God. Let's make sure our lives are in obedience and surrender and boldness. Let's have the assurance we're on the winning side. Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed, the altar is open. Whatever you stand in need of tonight, you come. These folks are coming.